A couple of good things came out of the Writers Guild strike. One, the writers at Saturday Night Live must have been sitting on a ton of great material because since its return 2 weeks ago, the show has been really funny. It also got one of its highest ratings in 2 years. The other good thing that happened, at least for one 27-year-old, is that she was able to fly to New York and impress producers enough to be cast as one of the show's new feature players. Here's Casey Wilson on her debut night in front of 6 million people, playing one of the weepy chicks trying to earn a spot as the girl toy of the almost washed-up 80s hair band lead singer Bret Michaels. She endured one nasty kiss during this takeoff on Rock of Love 2.
Christy Joe, come down here, please. Christy Joe, do you promise to stay in this house and continue to rock my world?
Oh, my God, of course. I'm so here for you.
Good. But remember what I told you. I need to get to know the inside of your mouth better.
Okay.
The audience, Casey, even was uncomfortable by that kiss. Casey Wilson joins us in the studio. What was that like for your first night that you had to go do this sort of hideous tongue kiss with one of the members?
It was hideous. Although Jason Sudeikis, it's not hideous, but it was really something because my dad was in the stands, and so he's like trying to be so proud when he was so proud. He was like, "Oh yay!" But kind of like. Eh.
So how does this work? Do you get the call, or do you have some slickster guy who drives a fast car who otherwise known as an agent?
Yeah. In my case, I was making a call. I was calling my manager and agents and saying, like, you know, hey, I'd really like to make a tape for SNL. Like, could I send something in? And so, sadly, I was kind of like, hey, guys, can I send a tape in?
Once you got into the audition phase, mm-hmm. what does the audition phase consist of?
Well, they fly you out, and it's very short notice. You get there, and it's just very nerve-wracking because you're doing it in 8H, in the actual studio, in front of, Lauren and all the producers.
Wow.
And some of the writers had come in, even though it was a strike. And you've got 5 minutes, and you just have to cram in every character you've ever thought of. I was cramming in the most abstract, like, just a piece of something and kind of go for it, I guess.
What do you think, in retrospect, was the character, the bit that maybe won them over?
I think it might have been this bit that I do, which is a quadriplegic stripper.
Oh, really?
Yes. I cannot move from the neck down. I've been involved in a tragic sidecar accident, but I'm still stripping. I'm still going. And so I have a guy from my rehabilitation center who I had a friend of mine, Nate, come in, and he literally drags me around and strip, and I still strip, but he has to move me and take my clothes off and help me do the lap dances and everything. It's very sexy.
I've just gotten an insight into you as well as the people who cast Saturday Night
Live. You're like,
Live.
I see the sadness inside of you and everyone else on that show.
Where were you when you got the call that, yeah, we're going to bring you to New York and we're going to put you on the show?
Well, I was actually in L.A. and I got a call from Lauren's assistant. And she said, hey, Lauren's in L.A. and he'd like to just say hi at the Beverly Hills Hotel. So do you know where that is? I was like, no. I know where the Chipotle is. And so I went over, and actually Lorne told me himself, and I cried.
Wow.
It was very exciting. It was surreal. I was hyperventilating when he left, and I called my dad, and we were thrilled. It was so cool.
So what was that first night like for you? I mean, we were all, as viewers, really excited because Saturday Night Live is back.
Yeah.
But I just can't even imagine how excited you must have been
I was
for your
so
debut
excited.
Night.
But I was shaking. I was kind of crying at points, but like not sad crying, just people like, tears seem to be leaking out of your eyes. Are you okay? I was like, I think so.
Aww.
And then when they said my name and Don Pardo announced my name, there was a NBC page next to me. I just held her hand. She was like, are you Les? No, she didn't say that. But it was.
She thought it though.
She thought it.
Well, let's check out your version of Rachel Ray. This is something from one of the first two shows.
Okay.
Extolling the virtues of cheese as she is a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump.
This week I instructed you to come up with a dynamic new ad campaign for Barefoot Cruises, America's premier clothing optional cruise line. They're dynamite. They're really dynamite. Charles Barkley, what did you come up with?
Okay, Barefoot Cruises. It's a whole new fangle for your old dingle dangle.
I love Keenan. He's so funny.
It's not sexy. We're talking about Barefoot Cruises. Classy, erotic, like bearskin rugs and three cheese fondue. Rachel Ray.
Oh, fondue! Yummo! You can eat so much, they should call it fondue!
Rachel Ray, you are a national treasure.
How much Rachel Ray did you have to watch?
I was like watching it like a crazy person when I would get off the set and when I would get home and everything. And she is a national treasure, Allison.
Now, you mentioned your dad a couple of times. Your dad's a Republican strategist, right?
Yeah.
You grew up outside of D.C. That's not necessarily a recipe for hilariousness when you think about
it. No, if you meet my dad, he's his own recipe for hilariousness. He is quite a guy. And my dad has been pitching me so many ideas and sketches constantly. He's texting them to me. He's emailing them. He's leaving them on my voicemail. Like, he cannot get enough. He's, like, recommending random friends of his. He's like, you know, they're really funny. I got some guys. They got a real offbeat sense of humor. Maybe we should, you should get in touch with a guy that writes all the political sketches and give him my, I'm like, Dad, I really can't right now. Like, he's very cute. But I don't know. My parents, they just really encouraged me doing theater, and I think theater and politics have some crossover.
I'd say so.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. We're talking to Casey Wilson. She's the newest feature player on Saturday Night Live. Now, do you have any characters that we might be seeing coming up sometime soon that you've been working on or have been in your oeuvre?
My oeuvre for a while? I don't know. I've got a couple I'm going to break out, but it's a little brazen at this stage in the game for me to be like, guys, here's all my characters.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put them out there and feature them. Although I've tried. They're like, take it down a notch. Take it down.
That's interesting, though, that there is a certain amount of new kid on the blockness.
Yeah.
And I think in any workplace.
Yeah,
even if
anywhere.
It's anywhere, you can't really come out of the gates blazing.
Yeah, I know.
You got to kind of like, okay, yeah,
it's
I'm
like,
a newbie.
New kid, take it easy.
Exactly.
Just take it easy with that.
Has there been anything from the backstage of SNL, after watching it for so long, now that you're backstage and you see how it goes, what goes on, that you found surprising or you didn't know really happened to make that show happen every week?
I didn't know. I mean, obviously, but how much of a play it is, essentially. Like, it's like a play we would do at NYU, but it's so fast-paced, and it's like a dance, the way the crew moves the sets like crazy, and they strip your clothes off, and they run you. It is like, go, and I've got my lovable, gay dresser just in there moving the boobs around. I mean, things are happening that should never happen in front of other people.
People touching you places.
Oh, I've got a bodysuit. Basically, they've got me spanked from my neck down to my body, and they're just moving things around. Things are happening.
Have you seen the new edition of Vanity Fair?
Yes.
It's all about women in comedy.
Oh,
that's the cover story. And
so beautiful.
It's a really pretty picture, and it's about the inroads women have made on TV, in comedy. It's got Tina Fey is on the cover, Sarah Silverman, Amy Poehler, who is now one of your coworkers.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun to say? And it
Can
talks
you say that again?
Amy Poehler is one of your coworkers.
Thank you.
Okay. In the article, they talk about how comedy has opened up a lot in the past 20 years. I want to read you a quote from the article. The repertoire of women isn't limited to self-loathing or man-hating anymore. The humor is more eclectic, serene, and organic. I wonder, because you're 27, I mean, for somebody who's been doing this for a while, they might remember when it wasn't so eclectic and organic, as Vanity Fair says. Did you ever feel the need that you had to do a certain kind of chick humor, or by the time you got around to doing it, was that just old news?
I guess it might have been old news, because I'd seen Tina and Amy and Rachel Dratch performing at the UCB, and I guess so into them and so into Sherry O'Terry and Molly Shannon with that physical humor, and she was up to so much craziness. I've seen some girls, you know, that I think feel like they have to be, like, really dirty to kind of hang in this, like, male comedy world, and that's always a little bit turned me off, that there needs to be I have to develop a persona on top of being female that makes me kind of like a viable player in this like boys gang. You know, there was that Vanity Fair article, I guess it was, I don't know when it was, Christopher Hitchens wrote,
yeah,
which absolutely enraged me. So now I'm like, I guess.
So why women aren't funny. That's what
yeah, which I can't even speak to that article. It was so disturbing. I mean, now I guess Vanity Fair's turned their story around. But, you know, I think they look so beautiful. There is something that's like, oh, and they're funny and attractive. But, and they all are, you know, but there's plenty of just good comedy out there. Like, it's never like, oh, guys, and look how hot they are.
Right.
I don't know. In the comedy world, it's like, you've got guys that are good looking, but then there's like, they're comedy hot, is what I call them.
Comedy hot?
Comedy hot.
Oh.
Where they're, you're like, oh, they're so cute in this building. That sounds so rude. But, you know, it's like women is like everyone's wanting the whole package from women to deliver the looks, the comedy. There's a lot that needs to be delivered.
K. Casey Wilson of Saturday Night Live.
Aw, thank you.
You almost clapped for yourself, didn't you?
Can I? Thank you.
Hey, that's it for this hour of the BPP. Thanks for being with us. We're online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Rachel Martin.
I'm Allison Stewart, and this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.